Hello again, Person County, and thank you for listening to this edition of Turn the Page, where we talk about books and reading and all things literary. And as always, a special thanks to the wonderful folks who sponsor the show, Reagan & Son Heating & Air, Truth Books & Gifts, and Donovan Insurance. I love Edgar Award winner James Lee Burke's novels, but not even he can hit a home run every time. Robichaux, title for his signature character, is a good read. It's just not up to par with much of Burke's previous work, in my opinion. The official synopsis of the book reads thusly, and I'm quoting, "Dave Robichaux is a haunted man. From the acts he committed in Vietnam, to his battles with alcoholism, to the sudden loss of his beloved wife, Molly, his thoughts drift from one irreconcilable memory to the next. Images of ghosts pepper his reality. Robichaux's only beacon remains serving as a detective in New Iberia, Louisiana. It's in that capacity that Robichaux crosses paths with powerful mob boss Tony Nemo. Tony has a Civil War sword he'd like to give to LaVon Brossard, a popular local author whose books have been adapted into major Hollywood films. The sword's history can be traced back to Brossard's ancestors, and Tony figures it belongs to LaVon. But Tony's intentions aren't so pure. He believes the gift will lead him to a slice of Brossard's lucrative film adaptations. Then there's Jimmy Nightingale, the young poster boy of New Orleans wealth and glamour. Jimmy's fond of LaVon's work, and even fonder of his beautiful, enigmatic wife, Rowena. Tony thinks Jimmy can be a U.S. senator someday and has the resources and clout to make it happen. There's something off about the relationship between these three men, and after a vicious assault, it's up to Robichaux to uncover the truth. Complicating the matters is the sudden death of T.J. D'Artes, the New Iberian local responsible for Molly's death. Robichaux's colleague, Spade Labiche, thinks Robichaux had something to do with it. Robichaux's determined to clear his name. He's not alone. His daughter, Allifair, along with his old friend, Cleet Purcell, are right by Robichaux's side as he searches for the killer, where a shocking discovery waits." End of quote. I think Burke was trying to tie up several things in this book. Detective Dave Robichaux and his former New Orleans police partner, Cleet Purcell, have been friends for decades. That long friendship and partnership between two highly flawed yet decent men is one thing I think Burke was trying to tie all together in this book, but it didn't quite work. It seemed almost forced at times. But there were a couple of classic passages depicting the friendship between the two aging lawmen. Like when Cleet tries to explain how he got involved with a reverse mortgage and nearly lost his home to some really bad guys, Dave tells us, "Listening to a story told by Cleet Purcell was like building the pyramids with your bare hands." There are other passages in the book that live up to Burke's reputation for beautiful prose. As he's gotten older, Burke has let his characters reflect more and more deeply on life and mortality. One such spot in Robichaux is when the title character ruminates on wisdom. Quote, "If there is such a thing as wisdom, and I have serious doubts about its presence in my own life, it lies in the acceptance of the human condition and perhaps the knowledge that those who have passed on are still with us, out there in the mist, showing us the way, sometimes uttering a word of caution from the shadows, sometimes visiting us in our sleep, as bright as a candle burning inside a basement that has no windows." Now that's beautiful. There are also scene-setting passages that bring the world of southern Louisiana alive in the mind's eye. That ability to create such beautiful images has always been one of my favorite things about Burke's writing. Like the following. Quote, "The temperature had hit 98 degrees at 4 in the afternoon. The humidity was eye-watering and as bright as spun glass, as tangible as lines of insects crawling on your torso and thighs. At sunset, lightning pulsed in the clouds over the gulf, but no rain fell, and the wind was hot and dry and smelled of road tar and diesel fuel. I walked down to the bayou and watched the sun shrink into an ember between two black clouds and disappear. Then the wind died, and the trees stood still, and the surface of the bayou quivered in the sun's afterglow, as though a molecular change were taking place in the water. End quote. Yes, there are some good spots in this novel, and again, Burke's worst is better than most writers' best. This one just didn't quite live up to his usual brilliance, though. Until next time, thanks for listening, and happy reading.